It's time to think outside the pocket on Saturday Scramble.
This is really interesting.
We're rewriting history here.
You sure about that?
Really?
You sure about that?
You fired up.
I'm never emotional. I'm very even keeled. Very cool, calm, and collected.
On 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
The Milwaukee Brewers just bleed something about Wisconsin. Like, there is something about the culture when you're around Milwaukee Brewers.
I may not believe in Bigfoot, but I do believe in Luke Fickell.
Alongside Riley Auk, here's Pablo Iglesias.
Good morning, hello friends, live from Whiskey Jack Saloon across State Street here, downtown Madison. I'm Pablo Iglesias alongside Riley Auk, getting ready for the Barstool Open. This is Saturday Scramble, and we are just getting ready for what is going to be a mini golf round for the ages. The Barstool Open presented by Wisconsin Distributors and Michelob Ultra. 18 bars, 18 mini golf holes. We got to see a little bit of what it looks like at the W, Riley. That's where people are starting. Whiskey Jack Saloon, which is where we are live from right now all the way until noon here on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. And Riley, from what we're seeing here, this is a tough, challenging hole. So challenging that one of our interns, Matthew, had to be the test dummy, as he said, to try to figure out exactly how to make this a little more even keel, because that's how difficult it was here at Whiskey Jack's.
Yeah, and it was impossible for him to get it by a wooden carved shark.
Yeah,
I believe
give us the play-by-play of what we've got going on.
So we got
here
a little hill with a hammerhead shark tied to it that you have to hit it through the shark, and then there's a big square here with a palm tree right in the middle surrounded by sand, and then there's walls and open areas you can hit it into the mulch. There's so many hazards. You have to hit it perfectly in the back corner if you want to sink it. Otherwise, it's you're going to be losing a lot of strokes. I think Whiskey Jack's, this could be a killer. This could be a killer for some scores today.
What's going to be interesting, too, is after the show, Riley and I will go in a five-hole showdown. And make sure that you tune in onto social media. We'll make sure that we share our journey. We're going to have some fun with the recap there. Five holes, we're going to go mano a mano, head-to-head. I am excited for this one, too, because also what's in front of us at Whiskey Jack's, that's the last time you want to be a part of a beach vacation with that sand trap right in the middle. That's deadly. But as you said, Riley, that is going to be killer. And the whole reason why this is going on too, Riley, it's the best weekend in sports. Right?
Is
it not? How is this not the best weekend in sports with the Masters? You've also got Wisconsin men's hockey playing in the national championship. That doesn't roll around a lot, but
if
Masters
Wisconsin
weekend,
hockey was not playing in the national championship, you'd have zero argument. Absolutely zero argument. The first weekend of March Madness clears Masters weekend, and it's not particularly close.
The reason why
first weekend of the college football playoff, first weekend of the NFL playoffs,
those games, I snoozed at the first round of the college football playoff games, 100 like easily. But for the Masters weekend, it's more than just the event in itself.
Golf is about putting you to sleep.
It's
the Masters music.
My gosh. Like, no, but it's the music. It's the food. It's the atmosphere. It's the parties.
Oh, yeah, the pimento cheese.
You don't love pimento cheese and nice azaleas. I wish you were with us last year. Matt Hamilton, our teammate, Jim, Matt, Molly, you could hear him 4 to 6 weekdays. He invited me to a party last year. And my goodness, I've never seen an at-home simulator, too. Like, this is, like, beyond belief. And we had the treats and everything. We were watching the Masters. We were taking some swings at one of his buddy's houses. But it just feels like it's the culmination of spring. And although it's a little chilly outside, this is what I said to you earlier, is that this, at least with the Barstool Open, feels like the perfect type of bar crawling weather.
Oh.
You know, it's a little chilly, so whether or not you want to be brave and put on a little bit of that bird jacket, maybe get some Michelob Ultras in you, and then take a walk, and before you know it, the afternoon rolls around for the back nine, you're warmed and ready to go.
Yeah, it gets warm, you have that booze blanket on, and then you're the perfect temp when it's crowded in here for the Badgers hockey game later for the national championship. That's going to be awesome. And I think it's a good weekend. This is a very good weekend in sports. It's a very, like you said, a very springy weekend. It feels like spring. It's the first weekend of the farmers market here in Madison. It's a very good sports weekend. But to say it is the best weekend in sports is patently absurd.
I want to put out an emergency poll then. We need to do this. Is Masters weekend overrated, underrated, moderately rated?
I think it's properly rated.
It
should have a special place for spring.
Yes.
Like you said, it's the entrance, the culmination of spring, that transition from the cold to the hot.
The vibes are just good.
It's great.
People
feel good. Vibes are great. But it's not the best. And it certainly is not underrated. That's for sure.
844-770-3776, the Carbo Stock and text line. Liz is more. Want to hear from you as well. We'll also get into Brewers talk. We'll talk about Wisconsin as a whole, too, right now, and we're seeing some more reports of John Blackwell and where he's going to go. And we want to talk about that, some football as well. So we'll talk about that throughout the show, but we want to focus on Masters weekend right now. We want to focus on the Barstool Open. Also, Wisconsin men's hockey has a championship. But, Riley, one quick thing. Why I feel like, and I think you might magnetize towards Masters weekend and have a little bit more of a softer spot here. I was listening to Jim Nantz, who had a couple podcast appearances, one with Jason and Travis Kelce, and I think it was really well said with, one, Jim Nantz is just a legend in itself, and how long he's been calling the Masters, and you know, a growing play-by-play announcer like yourself. Like, the way that he just allows this event, especially whether it's on Championship Sunday, if you know who the winner is, that coronation of the final hole and just allowing the stories to kind of bleed and talk, like just allowing the moment to breathe more so. Mm-hmm. Like whether it's Rory McIlroy finally completing the career Grand Slam, Tiger Woods in 2019 when everybody counted him out and said that he could never win a major again and does that. But also just the storylines where even today we were talking to some of our friends over at Wisconsin Distributors and believing that even though Rory McIlroy has a 7-6-stroke lead right now, anything's possible. So the beauty of how many different storylines there are and the way that Jim Nantz, too, on Championship Sunday just sets it up and allows this moment to kind of be a part of it, be the storyteller, have the majesty, the beauty, how it feels like, as even Travis Kelce described it as this, this botanical garden. So you put all those things together, you put together a beautiful presentation, you put together an eloquent voice like Jim Nantz. I think you got to give it a shot at the very least.
He does have a very eloquent voice. I would agree with that. And I have the utmost respect for Jim Nantz, what he has done in the play-by-play sphere, and his storytelling ability. That, I think he's mentioned it before, that is his favorite part about being a play-by-play broadcaster, is that he has the ability to tell those stories. And like every single sporting event, the Masters has great stories to tell. My objection is that the stories at the Masters are any better than the stories in today's national championship game for Wisconsin men's hockey, for Wisconsin women's national championship hockey team, women's volleyball, John Blackwell and Greg Gard, and where does Wisconsin stand in the grand sphere of college athletics right now? Like, I don't think the Masters, those stories are any better than the stories throughout the sports world the rest of the year. That's my gripe. That's my contention. It's great. It's great. Augusta's beautiful. I love that they all got to wear collars and, like, you know, prim and proper and all that jazz.
No phones,
it's good.
Though.
I know. I respect the no phones. I respect the no phones. I like that. They're great elements of the Masters. I like that they keep the concessions cheap. But maybe it's just because I'm not a big golf guy, but it's like, it's cool. It's great. I can respect it, but I don't really care.
What could you do then if I were to say, Riley, let's, one, get you more of a golf diehard like myself, or just get you into the Masters? And there's no cop-outs where it's like you can't do anything. I'm going to force you to force the hand here. You got to figure out what is something that if you could change, if you could, you know, revision a little bit, what's gonna get you all in on the Masters weekend?
Flying me out to Augusta National and letting me play. There we go.
As long as we got green jackets walking in here, too. So we've already got a couple Masters champions walking in here at Whiskey Jack's.
Impressive. You love to see it.
Hey, great job. Congratulations, guys. Yeah. Can't wait to see how they perform out on the course.
I'm sure they will be excellent. Stupendous. But that's how you'd convince me. If you gave me an all-expenses-paid trip to Augusta to watch the Masters and then play. That's how you're getting me on board with Masters Weekend.
Fair enough, and it's adequately priced.
Yeah,
adequately priced, and you won't get price gouged too. Which also, like, I'm very excited for this too. I have a friend who is covering the Masters. He put together. Well, I sent him money, and he's sending merch out from Augusta National, and I'm excited to get to unbox that later today. So all I'm saying is, if we haven't caught on by now, I'm a huge golf nerd.
Yes. Yes, you are.
if that has not been clear just yet. But it looks
Owen, are you a golf guy? Are you a golf guy?
Sorry. Not exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
a little bit of a rough start.
Yeah. My dad is a big golfer back home. He's in two golf leagues. And I've always envisioned myself at some point picking up the club, but I haven't reached that yet.
Wait, you've never golfed before?
Well, no, I have. I have golfed. Okay. It's just not like consistently like some people. Like, Pablo, how often would you say you golf during the summertime?
Let me just put it this way. I played 25 different courses last year. I did the math.
Wow.
That's a problem.
That's not just 25. Yeah, trust me. My wallet is not thanking me for the adventures I went on last summer.
Yeah, I can imagine. I like hitting the city courses anytime there's a deal, Twilight Golf. I golf a few times every summer. I love golfing. It's fun. It's a great way to spend the day. But you're never going to catch me just sitting down like, oh, boy, let's golf is on TV. Yes. I don't understand
it,
that.
It feels like the feels like the passing of the torch, I will say, guys, as a guy who's going to be 31 next month. That is the passing of the torch. Once, I work out, I go to a CrossFit gym and everything, but I also know yesterday I got humbled way, way too hard. But also it's like that welcoming into like your 30s. Like, you have that specific type of hobby. It's either you're smoking like barbecue meats, you're golfing, I'm trying to think, or you pick up running. I feel like those are the three things that
I'm a man. I'm 40.
From a hobby standpoint,
marathons. Levi asked in the YouTube chat, "What does that wanted say behind Pablo's shoulder?" We can't read it. The wanted one. That one.
Does he want to know?
We can read that one, but we're not going to. There's one behind us though that's being blocked by this banner that would not fly on YouTube. So,
well,
we're blocking it.
we are blocking it, and it's a great day out here at Whiskey Jack's. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Auk, live from the Barstool Open. But the crux of what we wanted to get into today, as much as I would love for us to talk 2 hours about the Masters and golf, we are now going to shift gears and talk about more so of the concerning state of where Wisconsin athletics is at. Not just basketball, not just football, but a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Where they stand, we've got John Blackwell now in the transfer portal. What does it look like for Wisconsin football for the future and moving forward? Let's dive into that a little bit coming up next year on the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Crowds are rolling in here at Whiskey Jack Saloon, and the Barstool Open is off and running from a shotgun start. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Auk. And we are live from Whiskey Jack Saloon for the Barstool Open presented by Wisconsin Distributors and Michelob Ultra. What a fun afternoon that we've got going on. You've got the green jackets going out. You've got people wearing different wigs, or who knows? Maybe that is their real hairstyle. The 80s are back.
You never know.
The 80s are back.
It's hard to tell.
And I'm starting to see some costumes over here, too. We've got a four or a five-some with bunny ears. Everybody, this is what I love,
too. Yeah, we got costumes. There's prizes. We got drink specials all day. Michelob Ultras are $4 throughout the whole crawl. Neutrals are $5. Don't miss it, folks. You still got plenty of time. Still plenty of empty seats here at Whiskey's and throughout the bars in Madison. No better time. Better time to get out. It's a beautiful day. You can play some mini golf. You can watch the Badgers win a national championship. It's hard to beat. Days like this don't come around all the time. So you got to take advantage.
They do not. And although this feels like a destination to be at right now, it does not feel like, Riley, if you are part of the Wisconsin Badgers program, is this now seen as a destination program? Is this seen as a destination school if you're in college athletics now? Or is this just a place for you to grow? And that kind of feels like the concern right now with where John Blackwell is heading with Wisconsin men's basketball. Although it's, I feel like he's still Badger for life, no matter what.
John Blackwell goes to the University of Illinois, he is not a Badger for life. I'm sorry. That does not compute in my brain. You cannot claim to be a Badger for life and then go to a rival school within the same conference. That does not go.
John Blackwell narrowing down his transfer portal options to Duke, Illinois, it looks like some other schools, but from what we've seen pretty consistently,
Alabama, Arizona, UCLA, I might be missing one there, but that's about it.
And I could see that being the case. As much as I would love to see him go out into the NBA, and I know he's going to be part of that transfer or NBA draft process, it still feels like that he's maybe just a couple steps away or
he needs another year. He's probably not going to be a high-end NBA player. Yeah. I could see him playing in the G League for a little bit.
Sure.
And he's going to make more money this next year staying in school anyways.
Projected to make $4 to $5 million at the very least, or at least asking for $4 to $5 million.
That's more than a G League contract.
that is nice, and that's just the – one, that's where we're at in college athletics, is where if you're a top-tier talent, you might be going back and forth. It's like, if I'm not going to get high NBA prospects, but the money's there to stay in college athletics, you know what, why not right now? And what's tough, though, right now, for this side of Wisconsin, Riley, is just the developmental side, is that it doesn't feel like that players are not choosing to come to Wisconsin, but like they'll develop over time and then they just kind of take this next step. Like, where do you feel like Wisconsin is at right now in terms of developing players and players now leaving for the next step in a big program like Duke or Illinois?
I think it comes when you look at John Blackwell. Wisconsin has clearly been a stepping stone program for him. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin was the only Power 5 school to recruit him and offer him a scholarship coming out of high school. He spent 3 years here in this system under Greg Gard. But ultimately, and he mentioned this to ESPN in an exit interview, essentially, when they asked him why he was entering the transfer portal, he said he wanted to go to a school where he feels he can win a national championship. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, right now, Wisconsin is a stepping stone program in basketball until they win. You can't continue to lose in the first and second round of the NCAA tournament and expect to retain your elite talent. That's just not going to fly. And maybe he would have stayed if the Badgers were willing to pony up the $5 million, but that doesn't seem to really be in the cards. We talked to Jim Polzin on Thursday from Badger Extra, the Wisconsin State Journal, and he said Wisconsin could have paid John Blackwell the $4 to $5 million he wanted, but that would have taken up a significant chunk of their NIL, and they wouldn't have been able to surround him with anyone of significance other than maybe Nolan Winter and Austin Rapp coming back next year. So,
do you feel like that?
But
as a true diehard through and through Badger, Riley, do you feel like that Wisconsin's name has lost its luster? Do you feel like that, you know, based off of the way that things have transitioned over the last few years, in this new era of college athletics, with the transfer portal kind of coming in and out, with NIL money growing, do you feel like, based off of how Wisconsin just hasn't competed right now, do you feel like that right now that Wisconsin almost has lost its luster as a destination?
I think as a university, no.
As a
sports school in general, I mean, they're the number two ranked public school in the country.
Now named New Ivy, at least, at the very least.
Exactly. The University of Wisconsin is still thriving, that's for sure. And I think athletically, it is still highly respected across the nation. But if you want to look at basketball, and we'll get into football next segment, but I think the same applies, again, they have lost a little bit of respect nationally since 2015, and I think you can really tie it back to 2017 when they made the Sweet 16. They missed out on going to the Elite Eight on a Chris Chioza buzzer beater. But through the Bo Ryan era, into those first few years of Greg Gard, it was like, man, Wisconsin, it doesn't matter what their seed is. It doesn't matter who's on their roster. They are going to be a tough out come postseason. They're going to give you all you can handle, and you can count on them probably for at least one upset. Like, you can count on that. You can bet on that. And now, over the past decade, Wisconsin has yet to make the second weekend, and now it seems a lot more likely that the Badgers will get bounced, that they will get upset. And that, over time, when it becomes a pattern, you start to lose respect. Like, look at St. Mary's. The Gales, they've been in they have a very similar record to Wisconsin over the past decade, very similar seed lines, very similar successes. They haven't made the second weekend in the decade, just like Wisconsin. Do you ever pick the St. Mary's Gales to go far in your tournament?
No.
No, exactly. So I don't think nationally, we live and breathe Wisconsin. We're going to pick them to go far. We're going to believe they can at least make the Sweet 16 year in and year out. But nationally, I don't think that's the case anymore. I don't think they have the benefit of the doubt. And if you're John Blackwell, when you have a first weekend exit 3 years in a row, sure, money is a major factor. But I think he wants to go to a place where he feels can win a national championship, and right now he clearly doesn't think that Wisconsin can get there.
844-770-3776, the Carbless Talk and text line. Liz is more. Is Wisconsin seen right now more as a stepping stone institution from a college athletic side? Because it feels like that, and again, even to it's not necessarily Wisconsin just being forced into this. Wisconsin athletics almost kind of feels like that it's slightly more choosing this route. How do you feel about that? Jump onto the Carbless Talk and text line. Do have a text here. Is JB still on campus or in town, or do guys like him leave? I can neither confirm nor deny, but yeah, I'd imagine that.
I'm not sure. I know he put on his Instagram story that he was at some NBA game somewhere, not in Milwaukee. That's for sure. So, I mean, if I had to guess, this is just conjecture. I don't know this for certain, but he's going on visits. Mm-hmm. He's checking out other schools. He's talking to people. I guarantee you he's gotten out of his lease in the very near future. I'm sure he's going to try and get onto his new campus as soon as possible. And I can confirm, I've seen this in reports, that he wants to make a decision by May 4th. So within the next month, he'll have made his decision.
End of semester.
I bet that's it. He'll probably stick it out through the semester, and he'll be gone. The second he's done with classes, I bet he'll be out.
Jim says something, too, on and development, too. I want to hear from him on the, you know, as another Wisconsin guy, Wisco guy. We'll get into that a little bit more down the show, I'm sure. Riley's definitely riled up about that. What's popping, Dims?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you guys, do you still believe in player development in college sports?
I still believe in player development, for sure. Nolan Winter is one. He's going to end up being here for 4 years. He's sticking around next year. It still exists. But now it's almost like if you're a top-end program, you develop guys for a year. Like we've seen with Greg Gard and the utter successes he's had with A.J. Storr, John Tonjay, Nick Boyd. He'll take really good players and make them elite. Great for one season, but then they're gone. And I think a lot of the upper echelon programs like Michigan, you see those graphics every Sweet 16, every Elite Eight, every Final Four, how many of these players started with the school that they're currently on playing in these second, third weekend games? And rarely does a school have more than one or two guys that started at their university. So maybe you develop a cornerstone piece, an elite blue chipper out of high school. But then you're developing guys for 1 year, maybe 2 years. You have to shorten the timeline exponentially to make it work. So I still believe in development. It's just at a vastly different scope than it used to be. You're not getting your guys in as freshmen and like, hey, we get 4 years of this dude. We get to see this guy play his whole college career at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. That just it doesn't exist. Really.
I think development still exists, but there's a bigger problem too. If anything, with the NBA expanding to 32 teams and Tracy McGrady, NBA Hall of Famer or Basketball Hall of Famer, calling out saying that there's a talent gap and saying we don't have enough talent in the NBA right now to one just field 30 truly adequately competitive teams. That's a problem there, and I think it stems down to colleges. And honestly, like where I truly credit Greg Gard and his staff is from conversations that I've had is that they have a smart staff.
Yes.
They are really good, and by no means is where we're at right now a Greg Gard Wisconsin men's basketball staff issue in terms of development. They've done their homework. They're really smart about their NIL budget and how they build this roster and how they build this team. And you can say what you will, but they also had a couple injuries that they dealt with here and there, trying to figure out the hiccups. They went through the process from a development standpoint throughout the season, sans getting kicked out by High Point. They went through the growth steps in the right way.
Yeah.
Right.
And
they
beat the national champion. They're one of three teams.
Hang up the banner.
To beat the national champion this year. I'm just saying that's a fact.
Banner, right?
Wisconsin was able
hurts
to
even
beat
more, though.
The best teams in college basketball this year. So when we said they could play with anyone, when we felt they could make the Final Four, I don't think that was That was hyperbole at all. And ultimately, the problem's twofold. One, you got to win. No excuses, point blank. You have to win in March. That hasn't happened over the past decade. And two, you got to have the money. Mm-hmm. We talked with Jim Polzine. He said that the Badgers right now are playing catch-up as a university. They were not ready for NIL, and that is going to put you on the back foot in retaining any of your elite talent. It just doesn't work.
It just
like,
is not.
It's twofold. You got to win, and you need to have the money to help you win.
Well, you got to. Well, we do know about. We do know one program, and it's the football team that definitely has the money right now.
No, they
but
do.
Are they putting together something of resulting in wins? That's the big question. Riley, you've been at practice. We'll talk about that on the other side. Where football stands now from a developmental side, interesting bit from yesterday from Mel Kiper Jr., NFL draft expert, when he was on Wilde and Tausch.
Yeah,
a lot
I love
more.
Mel Kiper Jr. talking some Badgers.
Oh, my gosh.
Talking some Luke Fickell.
Well, I feel like if, one, when you listen to that interview in real time real quick.
It sounds like it's on time two.
Yes, it's on
speed.
Times two, so I wonder what times two sounds like. I wonder if we could play that.
It would be unintelligible. You would not be able to understand anything he's saying.
Or would you retain even more information quicker?
It would just, like, just seep into your brain. Mel Kiper is
listen
like,
to it while you sleep.
Just an injection of Mel Kiper Jr.
Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, live from Whiskey Jack Saloon. Transitioning over to where football goes next. What are the next steps? What their identity? Question mark really is for them? We'll talk about that more here on the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Going to our Twitter poll question. In the NIL and transfer portal era, is Wisconsin turning into a stepping stone program for players? We're at a 50-50 right now, so make sure you go vote on that. A split between yes and no. And when we say stepping stone, it's more of just the, I guess in a way, we're prisoners of the moment. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch here, live from Whiskey Jack's on the Barstool Open.
Thanks, John Blackwell, for forcing us to have this conversation.
Hey, you know what? You got to go get your bag sometimes, though. And it's a tough pill to swallow. It is a massively tough pill to swallow. And I
understand.
I wish he would have stayed.
I can't say I wouldn't do the same thing. But, man, it's like Wisconsin's offering you $2.5 million. Mm-hmm. And you're leaving. I guess it's double your money going
but if
from
the market,
4 to 5 mil. But
if the market is asking for more, and you could get double, you have to at least feel it out right there. I mean, how do you – Frank Kaminsky actually, too, put this perfectly, is that it's hard to put these 19, 20, 21-year-olds in this space.
Especially when they got agents in their ear. They got all these voices with ulterior motives.
Well, guys, it's not just John Blackwell. You also have to think back – Chucky Hepburn left for Louisville. Louisville gave him more money. AJ Storr left for Kansas. Like, it's not just a John Blackwell issue. It's been a recent issue with the roster.
It has been a recent issue with the roster in itself, and development's been great.
Yeah.
I think it is if you want to turn lemons into some type of lemonade here, it's a tip of the hat to Greg Gard and how he's able to develop players, but it's just unfortunate that if we look at this maybe from like the MLB type of way, where Moneyball and the Oakland Athletics and how they lost their top players of Jason Giambi, Jason Isringhausen, and Johnny Damon. I'm getting full baseball head up in here. But it's like how you lose those names to different teams like your Boston Red Sox or your New York Yankees, the teams that could pay these players. And it's just very unfortunate that now college sports is starting to feel like pro sports. And we've even seen it with Wisconsin football, unfortunately, now, too, with Christian Allegro going to Ohio State. You've got Joe Brunner, who's probably a really good NFL pro lineman, going to Indiana along with Preston Zachman. Riley, do you feel concerned seeing, like, when I just throw out those three names for Wisconsin football, as we talk about this here in the Saturday Scramble, does that concern you at all with, you know, do you think top-tier programs are just going to keep kind of poaching from Wisconsin football?
They will until, like I said, it's a two-pronged issue. Did they leave for more money? Sure. But ultimately, especially on the football side, because there was a massive infusion of money this offseason, it comes down to winning. That is the second prong. And if Joe Brunner, Preston Zachman, Christian Allegro, their competitors, they want to win, and they only have one season left, I'm sure they feel a lot better about their chances going to Ohio State and Indiana – two college football playoff teams rather than Wisconsin.
Winning does heal all, and yesterday, Mel Kiper Jr., NFL draft expert for ESPN, was on Wilde and Tausch, and he kind of echoed those sentiments, too, a little bit, Riley, and had some other things to say, too, about Wisconsin football and where they stand.
You have to have an identity. I think that's what they're searching. What's the identity of this football team? We knew what it was at Wisconsin for all those years. For all those, you knew exactly what Wisconsin was. They had their identity. Now you're trying to go a different direction. What's that identity going to be? And this is obviously the schedule. I understand Notre Dame right out of the gate, but look at that schedule. If you can't win 8-9 games with that schedule, there's a problem.
Agreed. There is a problem. They have to win 8-9 games this year. This is the year. And I've said this before, the schedule in the new era of the 18-team Big Ten, the Wisconsin Badgers football schedule is not going to get any easier than it is for 2026 and 2027. Back-to-back years of very manageable schedules, and you have to win. If you want to be able to retain your talent, you can throw as much money as you want at them. That's going to help a ton, but you also need to win. You have to make yourself a place that players want to come and believe that they're going to succeed, that they're going to win on the collegiate level, and that you're going to set them up for the NFL. And now with the paydays, I think even less so getting set up for the NFL and more of just getting paid now and winning, because everyone wants to win.
Everybody wants to win. And, you know, Mel Kiper brings up a great point, though, too, about the identity. And something else that he said, too, was that he was skeptic with the change that Luke Fickell, and honestly, I know that he probably won't say this on record, understandable, but it just felt like that there was a huge mistake with Phil Longo hiring him and trying to transform.
Yes.
And Mel Kiper Jr. came up straight up and said, not just a point at Luke Fickell, but more from the overarching thing. When somebody says that they're going to come in and try to do it even better, he's like, I'm a little skeptic there, especially when you try to build that identity, because we're entering now year
four.
We're entering year four of Luke Fickell. And thank you for the save there.
Yep.
Is that, and it still feels like that the identity hasn't truly been fixed. And even though we say, Riley, winning heals all, I look at towards the end of the season, you have two of those big wins against Illinois and Washington. But then Minnesota, that loss, you just end the season very flat.
Yeah, because it was a loss.
Yes.
You got to win.
You got to win. So I do understand with what you're saying, because, yes, at the end of the day, 8-9 wins is awesome, but I feel like I need to see more production out of the roster. I need to see growth. I need to see development. I need to see talent. And I know it's really hard to ask for this time, you know, in this era of college football sometimes, or this era of college sports, but I think it's still possible. I think it's still possible for Wisconsin to have that ability to grow and develop players, keep them at these institutions. It's not like Jeremiah Smith was trying to shop himself. Granted, he was at Ohio State from the beginning and was a 17-year-old phenom, but it's, you know, I'm not saying try to get those Jeremiah Smiths, but it's more so from the players that want to stick around and want to develop and keep doing that. I mean, again, if you at least give yourself the, as a player more so, and again, I'm not in those shoes exactly, but you have to figure out a way, because coaches have even said it's a 24/7, 365 cycle of even just recruiting the players that are in-house. We've had people tell us that on the jump around all over the place in interviews, and it's a tough place to this day. But if you can get players to stay home and try to get them to develop year after year versus trying it out for a year, trying it somewhere else, and you hurt yourself from a developmental standpoint.
Yeah, and that's why I'm optimistic this season. Look at Mason Post and Cooper Catalano, the anchors, the best players probably on the Wisconsin football team last season. Mason Post and Cooper Catalano, they stayed. They believe in Luke Fickell. They believe in Wisconsin football and what they can build. They want to be the forebearers of the reemergence of an elite Wisconsin football team. And then you add in the money, that emergency infusion from probably mostly from Ted Kellner, if we're being honest,
true,
to bring in a
Father
Colton
Ted.
Joseph. Yeah.
Ted.
Shout out Ted. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, go check out his interview from the Homer Hour and KBN from the last offseason.
Do you think Wisconsin,
December.
I mean, granted, they were aggressive from the free agency. That's what it feels like, though, with the transfer.
It is free agency.
It feels like
it's
free agency
every single year.
They were
it's
aggressive.
It's one-year contracts, probably, for the most part. We don't know. We'll never see any of these contracts.
We'll never see any of these contracts, and you'd hope that they stay true to their word of trying to be in the top third
Yeah, top third of the Big Ten.
Top third
of
the Big Ten.
So that would be top six.
So top six.
Which that's a great spot. If you can consistently stay in top five, top six of spending in the Big Ten, you're going to give yourself a chance as long as you have the correct coaching staff in place, you're able to still develop players, and you're able to retain your elite players, a la Mason Posa, Cooper Catalano, Eugene Hilton Jr. And I think this year, that's why there's no excuses anymore. You have an easy schedule, you have money, you got your guys in place, and you have your staff in place. This is the year for Luke Fickell in Wisconsin to not just take like the next step from their regression down to 4-8 last season. Like, you got to take a big leap back to what Wisconsin was in the late 2010s. You have to get, like Mel Kiper Jr. said, 8, 9, 10 wins this season with this schedule. And I think it's possible. I mean, I've been at spring practices. It's really hard to tell just from the three practices. I've been to about half of them so far. I'm going to continue to go to more and try to get to as many as possible moving forward. They're practicing this morning, actually. They just started, 10:40.
Well, so let me ask you this, too, and I want to also hear from you on the Cardinal Stock and Text Line, 844-770-3776. Liz is more of the Cardinal Stock and Text Line. Riley, you said that, again, 8, 9 wins feels – more that it feels like I don't want to say a guarantee because you never know how it goes, but where are you at on scale from 1 to 10? You say, I think from what I saw too, when we were at the Hard Rock Casino in Rockford, is that the win over under totals is about 6.5.
Yep.
You feel confident that Wisconsin's gonna shoot pretty high over that?
Oh, I'm very confident.
I can tell already from that look that went as soon as I asked.
6.5, they're definitely getting over 6.5, but 7, I still don't think 7 is good enough. You have to win those in between games. Like, you got to beat a team like Iowa,
sure,
this year, and you can't get especially you can't get the doors blown off like they have the past 3 seasons, where it's not even competitive or close. Obviously, it'd be great if Colton Joseph stays healthy. That's going to help a lot. But you got to beat the teams like Iowa this year, like a Penn State that just brought in Matt Campbell and just
really
basically transitioned Iowa State's roster to Penn State.
Really think Wisconsin's going to go into Happy Valley and beat Penn
State? It's a winnable game.
Everything feels like a winnable game to you, Riley. You think
true.
You're going to blow the doors off of
Maryland
Notre Dame?
Maryland felt like a winnable game last year.
Maryland should have been a winnable game, and they got embarrassed. That was outside of the Iowa game last year. That was the most I've ever been embarrassed to be a Wisconsin football fan, was the Maryland game last year. That was when post-game show, everyone was freaking out. We had Evan Cohen call in.
That was bad.
To give his take. It was bad.
It was so bad. It was a blow-it-up type of vibe.
Doomsday.
That entire week.
And that's why I said people will get on me for my uncle in particular flip-flop me. He's like, oh, you say
put him under the bus.
You like Fickell, but then you said he should get fired in the middle after Maryland and after Iowa. Like, I have the clips. And it's like, I said.
It's a great impression.
Thank you. You know my uncle well. I said last season, after Maryland and Iowa, that those losses were unacceptable for the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. And I was right. Those losses are unacceptable. They were unacceptable. They still are unacceptable. However, McIntosh decided to keep him around, and I still think he's a good coach. I think both things can be true. Last year was awful. He had some atrocious losses that should never happen to Wisconsin, and he can still turn it around. I don't think it's mutually exclusive.
Well, so what stands out to you? What would be the biggest thing? Would it be the high win total, or do you want to see
high
production?
High win total.
I need to see production.
I don't care if you produce. I don't care if Wisconsin wins 3-0.
How do you think you
game?
Beat Penn State, and how do you think you beat Iowa if you think it's just going to be these inflated win totals? No, if you're not growing as a roster, and if you're not growing as a team, you don't beat Iowa. You don't beat Penn State. You don't go into the Rose Bowl and beat even a UCLA team that's on the rebuild. How do you think that even if USC came in here? I always thought for the longest time that if a West Coast team comes in, oh, it's clearly you're good to go. Washington, I think, was a vastly different thing. They were playing under weather and in different circumstances. But regardless, West Coast teams don't care now. Like, they'll go into anyone's house. They'll travel over X amount of different time zones. So it's like, again, unless you're growing as a roster, like, I think wins, yes, are important, but
Who cares if they grow and produce if they win five games this season?
I feel like that's how it rippled. It's the ripple effect into
exactly.
That.
So you need to win if you want to build on something.
But we haven't seen production as a whole.
That's why those wins against Washington and Illinois last year were so important. Because if you lose those close games, again, Illinois wasn't that close. Wisconsin just beat the brakes off them, which was awesome.
They caught. I wouldn't say caught like, a lot of breaks. They just beat them.
That was the one complete game. That was the most complete game we've seen probably since Luke Fickell arrived in the past three plus years.
I'm going to change this up a little bit and see. Instead of productivity, I want to see consistency because I think you bring up a good point there. Because we need to see consistency.
That's
because we've seen
the flashes.
It happen.
Yes. Okay. I am on board with that.
That's what I need to see, and that's what I don't think we've seen enough is consistency.
So what you're saying is, even if the Badgers lose some close games against good teams, that if they're playing well all year round, the full season, they're playing well and they're growing throughout the year, you'll be satisfied.
Yes, bring yourself back to bowl eligibility. So wins do play a little bit of a factor, but consistency in that growth. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just see a flashy moment where you caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, you beat Penn State and then lose to Rutgers.
Correct, yes. We've seen that way too many times. Over on the ESPN Madison YouTube chat, Jim Thompson, this is interesting. I don't trust that Fick has figured out what the Badger's soul is all about. He had to prioritize in-state recruiting. The heat is on, and his recruiting so far has thrown a little water on that fire.
Yeah, that goes back to Mel Kiper Jr., the identity of Wisconsin football. And I think over the past three seasons, you're right, Jim, we haven't seen that soul, that Badger's identity yet. But I do think we saw glimpses. We saw those sparks, those flashes in the pan from the wins against Illinois and Washington. Because what did we see? We saw grit. We saw tenacity. We saw a defense that flew around the field, an offense that didn't make mistakes, that took care of the football. Those are all the things. They played clean games. Those are the things that Wisconsin football has embodied since Barry Alvarez took over in the 90s. They made the most of the very little they had. They won games with their fourth-string quarterback and Carter Smith. Like, that finally felt like real Wisconsin football. And I think this year, you look at the in-state recruiting, this also is an insane class for the class of 2027.
It's crazy.
Luke Fickell would have been stupid
right
to not put the wall around the state.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. He shows he can put the wall around the state when the class is worthy of it. And I think also he's not, like, there may always be a little bit of Luke Fickell that feels like an outsider since he's not a Wisconsin guy. He didn't grow up here. But I do think from the little bit I've interacted with him and from what I've heard and watched and seen that I do think if most Wisconsinites had the chance to talk with him one-on-one, they'd feel he would understand Wisconsin and appreciate him more.
You know how you connect? You keep consistently stringing wins together.
Yeah, and that's the thing. No one's going to give a rip about how much they like Fickell if the Badgers win 10 games next year.
Okay, 10 games. All right.
I'm
surprised if you said 10 wins out here that not everybody here at Whiskey Jacks is going to give you some side eyes there. I love your optimism, Riley.
Look, we got Bucky riding a bull here at Whiskey's. We got Bucky on Bascom Hill. Like,
we got
come
a nice
on.
Crowd right now here, too, at Whiskey Jacks with the Barstool
Whiskey
Open.
Jacks is one of my favorite bars in
this
college. I love Whiskey Jacks.
This is a great time, and the fun continues here at Whiskey Jacks Saloon. Words are hard, apparently, on this Saturday morning. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Ock. Saturday Scramble continues. Guys, I want to play a game. We'll talk about some baseball in the second hour, too.
All right.
Riley's got some hot takes to riff off from being at the Brewers game last night and some lovely threats. I know you're very passionate about that, but I want to play a little fun game. Rapid-fire question of some fair or foul stuff. We'll talk about that. We'll end the 10 o'clock hour here. The fun continues, though, here at Whiskey Jack Saloon. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Ock. This is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Welcome back to Whiskey.
Whiskey Jack Saloon, and welcome back to the Saturday Scramble. Pablo Iglesias and Riley Yauch, live from the Barstool Open, presented by Michelob Ultra. We're talking to some fans here, too.
Yeah,
from what we've heard.
Talking hoops.
Talking a little bit of the course, too, out here for the Barstool Open, and from the scouting report, Riley, for our five-hole showdown that we'll be doing at the end of this show. It's not looking good. But that means we have some fun competition ahead of us.
Exactly. Should even the playing field, because you're a better true putter than me, a better true golfer, so this should even it up for me.
Do you want some tips is the question. I can give you some tips.
Nope.
I'm just going to go in blind. Owen, for the record, please keep this on the record, is that I offered to help Riley.
Yeah, no, I'm not taking help from the opposition. We're competing.
I offered you help, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
I offered it to
and
you.
And I'm declining.
Okay, all right. Well, don't come crying when you decide to lose here.
When I hit it off the shark.
Yes, when you hit it off the shark and go into the mulch for a two-stroke penalty.
Off the palm tree.
Man, the fun continues, like I said, here at Whiskey Jack Saloon. And, boys, to end the 10 o'clock hour, I want to try something new as we transition into the second hour. A lot of baseball talk. Play a little game of fair or foul. So I'm going to throw a bunch of rapid questions at you, Riley.
Okay.
And I want you to, one, fair or foul, and give me a little reason why. You ready to do this?
Okay. Owen, do we have some music?
Yes. Owen, cue up some music for us, and I think we'll be ready to go.
All right.
All right, we're ready to go? All right, first one. We said this earlier. Masters weekend, underrated. Fair or foul?
Foul. It is not underrated. It's properly rated, but sure as heck not underrated.
I want to check the Twitter chat real quick. Oh, wow, there we go. In your favor, overrated by about 83%.
Let's go.
We got some work to
do
there.
Come on.
All right, moving on. Wearing merch from events you didn't attend. As I mentioned, I'm having a friend send me stuff from Augusta National, unless I can actually attend the event. Shout out to Chaz Fraser, a friend I used to work with in Peoria. He's sending me some stuff from the merch shop, so that comes in today. Fair or foul, though?
Okay, I'm going to say foul, but with exceptions to the rule. Generally speaking, no, you should not wear merch from a place you did not go or an event you did not attend. However, if, say, Wisconsin football plays in the national championship game and I can't make it down to Miami or Arlington or Las Vegas, wherever it's held.
Or they're in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
I'm still getting some merch. Yeah, Pop-Tarts Bowl.
You're very passionate about Pop-Tarts Bowl.
I'm still repping the Sprinkle quarter zip because it's sick. Or the Bucks when they won the NBA title. I was in the Deer District. I had NBA title merch.
Fair.
But I don't fault anyone who's a Bucks fan who wants to get a Bucks NBA champion shirt, even though they weren't there for it. Like,
I don't fault that. I think there's a difference, though, between getting the merch that just simply says champions versus the championship game where you were at.
Okay, like a specific shirt for the championship game.
Yes, for example, I went to the Big Ten championship in 2017 when the Badgers played Ohio State when they were undefeated.
Yep.
And I got a shirt that said, you know, the 2017 Big Ten championship game. It had both the helmet logos of Wisconsin and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. But I think that's different from just simply getting an NBA champions sweatshirt for the Bucks.
Okay. That's fair. So then in that case, I'd say if that's not a part of it, then just totally foul. That's foul, Pablo.
It's not like I'm going on Fanatics, which we can anyway.
Yeah.
But for this specific situation, I'm not going on eBay and paying.
See, but now you're going to have to field questions like, oh, did you go to the Masters? What's it like?
No, I had a friend that was there, though. So it's not like I bought it from eBay. So
but then everyone's going to be like, oh, you didn't go to the Masters?
How do I field those questions? That's the question.
Yeah. You're putting yourself in a precarious
situation.
You know
what? Situation. That's fine. I like to have conversations, and it's a good icebreaker.
Yeah,
I will take it, and I will wear it confidently.
Not denying that.
Anyway, power rankings matter before May. Fair or foul?
For what sport specifically?
Just anyone in general. Pick a
power
sport if you like.
Power rankings before May. Well, if,
let's go baseball.
If it's baseball,
yes, it's baseball.
Power rankings matter because the season's starting. Season starts. You got to have power rankings.
Before May?
Yeah.
April.
There's still that's a whole month of baseball.
Mm. Okay.
I think power rankings do matter.
I lost my list, so I'm trying to let's see where'd it go. There it is. Lost my list for a second.
All
shout
right.
out technology. Staying 4 years at one school is basically dead. Fair or foul?
Yes, that is fair. Yep. Basically, like how many? Name Nolan Winter will have stayed for 4 years this season.
Chucky Hepburn was three here at Wisconsin.
Name Isaac one other Gard, player. 4 years.
That's true.
Isaac Gard, local legend. Shout out, uh,
Shout out to the Oregon Cat.
Yeah, the Oregon Panthers. All right, you got me there, Owen. Isaac Gard, if you're the coach's son that only plays to hype up the crowd in the last few minutes, then I guess you will stay for 4 years. But outside of that, it's pretty much dead.
All right, here we go. I'm curious to see this one. Court storming after a big win is always fair. Fair or foul?
After a big win?
After
yes.
After a big win.
Yep, that's fair.
What, Wisconsin-Washington, was that? Is that fair or foul?
Oh, that was fair. Illinois, the
I'm getting a no from Louie, our part-timer. He just, no, he nodded no.
What?
No, I'm going to.
Washington was fair.
Oh, now he's bashful that I put him on the spot.
Yeah, Washington was fair. Illinois, it was like, okay, we're doing this again. Like, we don't, why are we doing this again? I don't know why we need to do this. But I understand, having been a student here, and unfortunately, there have been multiple field/court stormings while I was a student. I did not get to participate in a single one, which is highly frustrating. Oh, my
gosh.
Here
we go.
The Minnesota rushing the field.
There we go. Yeah, he has stated his case. Minnesota.
That was dumb.
When Minnesota stormed the field.
That was stupid. And I think everyone can admit that's not a big win. You beat a 4-8 Wisconsin team. Oh, that's a big win for Minnesota. Yeah. That was the most ridiculous thing of all time. All Minnesota fans are losers and scoundrels and not to be trusted.
Let's not attack Minnesota fans even more.
Little brother move.
Enough,
it was the most little brother move of all time.
That's fair enough. Thank you to Louie for adding gasoline to the flame.
Yeah, he wanted
again.
To rile me up, and he
riled up his happened in the 10 o'clock hour.
If you want
hour.
To rage bait me, that is how you rage bait me.
All right, let's wrap it up. A couple more. And Owen, I want you to jump in on this one too. Doing the wave, fair or foul at a baseball game?
Fair. It happened yesterday
That's
at a family field.
Dude, why are we doing the wave at a baseball game?
I don't hate the wave.
The wave
I'll
sucks.
I'll admit. I'll stand on this island. I don't hate the wave.
Riley, Aubrey, another part time, real quick. Yes or no? Does the wave suck?
Let's go.
She said no. Well, I'm once again. All right, Owen, what you got?
Riley, I have to know, when did the wave occur last night?
Probably sixth inning while I believe the Brewers were in the field. So it was while the Nationals were at bat. Yeah, probably like top of the sixth, if I had to guess.
That's interesting because my theory is doing the wave in baseball is bad luck. Bad luck.
Oh. Thank you, Owen. Thank you.
So
Thank
many
you.
Times I've gone to a Brewer game, huh. And it's the fifth inning. It's the seventh inning. It's the ninth inning. And fans want to do the wave, and all of a sudden, the Brewers choke. I hate it. Get
you
the wave
know, here's another
out of
side.
AmFam Field.
You know the only time that I've seen people do the wave at a baseball game is when their team's down like 15 runs or something like that. When there's a lead that they can no longer come back from, so they do something to try to provide entertainment for people. No, my team sucks right now. I'm not going to be a part of this fake jubilance and do the wave. It's terrible. The wave only belongs in a soccer game, and no matter what happens there, that's always an electric atmosphere.
I don't hate the
wave. That's where it belongs.
I don't
100%. We got the World Cup coming up this summer too, so that's where we're going to see great waves.
Yep, I don't hate the wave. I'll stand pat on that take. And Owen, the bad luck thing is fascinating because it did. It might have been the sixth when they tied the game.
It was,
and then that because I think a single happened right after the wave started for the Nationals, and I'm pretty sure. Whoever that was came around to score.
I'm telling you, Riley.
So
going forward,
I'm open to listening to that.
Yeah, going forward, watch when a wave happens at a Brewer game and what proceeds to happen on the field.
All right,
there's a correlation.
Keep an eye on that.
There's a correlation. Keep an eye on tonight's game, Riley. I have one more for fair or foul, but I'm going to tease and go full cliffhanger because I want to talk about this. I'm going to give it to you right now, but I want you to think about this. Because I know where you stand on this as we jump in. You were at the Brewers game last night.
I was.
The last fair or foul. Hold your answer here. We're going to talk about this to start the 11 o'clock hour of the Saturday Scramble. Wisco, is it acceptable fair or foul? That's coming up next on the Saturday Scramble. We'll put a bow on fair or foul as a whole. Talk more Brewers baseball coming up next to start the 11 o'clock hour of the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
It's time to think outside the pocket on Saturday Scramble.
This is really interesting.
We're rewriting history here.
You really? Sure about that?
Really?
You sure about that? You fired up.
I'm never emotional. I'm very even keeled. Very cool, calm, and collected.
On 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
The Milwaukee Brewers just bleed something about Wisconsin. Like, there is something about the culture when you're around Milwaukee Brewers.
I may not believe in Bigfoot, but I do believe in Luke Fickell.
Alongside Riley Auk, here's Pablo Iglesias.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Whiskey Jack Saloon. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Auk, live from the Barstool Open presented by Michelob Ultra for the Saturday Scramble at 100.5 ESPN Madison. We finished fair or foul in the first hour. We talked about where Wisconsin stands from a basketball standpoint, from a football standpoint, especially with John Blackwell moving on, and also John Tanjay and Chucky Hepburn, and all those players in the past, what they look like from a stepping stone program and, and what football looks like. Where's the identity? What's going to happen from there? We want to jump into the second hour, though, finished off with some fair or foul, and I left you on a cliffhanger, Riley.
Yeah, you did.
Wisco is acceptable, right?
Wisco is fair.
Wisco is wait.
That
hang
might
on
be a
second.
Controversial.
What
opinion.
Happened here? What happened here?
No, I have not.
The last 24
I have not
hours,
changed my stance.
You
is
were,
it,
no, no,
is
no,
it
no, no,
worthy
no, no.
of being on a jersey? No. Is it that popular of a phrase in the state of Wisconsin? No. But do people say it? Yes. Have I heard it before? Yes.
Have you said it before?
Yeah, I've said it before.
Have you?
Yeah, I have.
This does not feel – it did not sound like that you have said this before in your life.
No, I definitely have said Wisco before.
Okay.
It's
right.
not common. And should it be on the front of the Brewers jersey? No. But I'm starting to get frustrated with all the pearl clutching over Wisco.
Okay.
And
okay.
Scani and – all of this, it's like everyone freaking out like no one ever says it. It's like, yes, people do say it. Some people have said it. It's like Whiskey, Wisco, and Scani are all in the same category of slang terms for the state of Wisconsin that are not relatively – like they're not used all that much, but they are used. Like you look, we see a picture here at UU with – girls wearing shorts that say Scani on them. Like, Scani is a thing. There's Scani Bar. There's Wisco Bar. I'm sure there's a whiskey with a Y, not an EY, bar somewhere. Like, these are things. And for people to pretend that they're not things is, like, I'm kind of over it. I understand Nike did not do a great job. They did an okay job.
C-plus, you said, right?
Yep, C-plus. And I still, after seeing the uniforms in person yesterday, I'm still on a C-plus. Like, they have some good elements to them, but the gradient's too much. I love the idea, and it makes sense when the Jumbotron, they got the sunset picture. They had little Polaroids of the players in the uniforms. Like, when you have the gradient, the design looks awesome on screens and on print, but putting it on a uniform, the gradient especially, doesn't really work in my opinion. I'm not a huge fan of the blue. The Wisco is whatever. It should have been Brewers, but everyone freaking out, I don't know. I don't know why it bugs me, but it does. It's like it's frustrating to me.
Do you think we've overdone the City Connect jerseys? Do you feel
like there's 100%.
Do you feel
like we do not need any more City Connect?
Do you feel connected to the city? Do you feel connected to Wisconsin if you're wearing this jersey? Do you feel like that it actually embodies Wisconsin? Because for the Chicago ones, for the White Sox,
the first ones rocked. The Southside ones.
The second one had to grow on me, but it's clearly you saw that identity, and I wonder if you could, if you're the Brewers, take the page out of the book that the White Sox did. Granted, it's partly because the owner is both the White Sox and the Bulls, but
yeah.
Pay homage to the teams that are also in the state or in the same city.
Yeah, like Packers one, that would have been crazy.
That would be an amazing type of collaboration there, because we've seen
I wouldn't have hated that.
We've seen Brewers players at Packers games. We've seen
Jordan
Packers
Love
players at
like
Brewers
games. Unboxed
games.
The State Connect uniform.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I love the idea of trying to connect the whole state of Wisconsin, because the Brewers are the state's team. Like, I grew up in Janesville, Wisconsin, and some of my earliest sports memories are my parents taking me to Brewers games. Like, I don't live in Milwaukee. I wouldn't feel excluded if they just focused on the city of Milwaukee, but I love that they're trying to get up north, that they're trying to promote lake life and the sunsets and the bobber and stuff like that. Oh, I will say.
Goes beyond City Connect, because
exactly.
The Brewers isn't just a Milwaukee team.
Yes.
They're, their Wisconsin
team, really
which
like,
I respect. I
love what they were trying to do. It just fell a little flat. They had a lot of good elements. They just don't work. Barrel Man should have been on the hat. Barrel Man rocks. That was great. The Bobber logo, great. The Brewer script, great. The gradient, not great. The blue color, not great.
All right,
the
Riley,
Wisco, not great.
You're getting too graphic designer up.
I know.
I love the passion.
Yeah, that
I'm here for it, and I know that this graphic design is your passion.
It is actually
genuinely your passion.
So yes, I apologize to our fans. I definitely was getting too in the weeds there. I will say, best part of the game yesterday, they have a new drink at American Family Field for these City Connect uniforms called the Bobber.
Ooh, okay.
And it's a classic Wisconsin old fashioned in a little fishbowl that looks like a bobber.
So like souvenir cup?
Yeah, souvenir cup.
Okay.
It rocked. It was such a good old fashioned.
I did see that. Wasn't that on your story?
On my Instagram story last night.
At Riley
Delicious.
On IG. You're welcome.
Phenomenal. Thank you. Phenomenal old fashioned. And now I have a little bobber cup that I will probably use today. That was awesome.
I agree with everybody. C+ right now.
It's
C
fine.
Plus, C range. It's good. It's not the best effort. I think even just this class of City Connect jerseys as a whole really stood out to me. If San Diego, the all black and the same lettering was second. There was it the Pirates?
Braves.
The Braves and the Pirates actually had some pretty tough looks. But
yeah,
otherwise,
the Pirates, the word mark, the Pirates looks like the old Spider-Man, the animated series font, like from the 90s.
Now you've got me into the graphic design.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff. Owen, I want to ask you as a Wisconsin guy, too, and also want to hear from the Carbon Stock and Text line real quick, 844-770-3776. Carbon Stock and Text line list is more. Jump into the YouTube chat as well. Do you feel like that you feel connected to the Wisconsin or the new Brewers, Wisco City Connect
jerseys? Yeah, do you like Wisco, Owen?
Yeah, Owen, where do you stand?
It's a fun baseball uniform. I just don't think it reflects the Milwaukee Brewers.
That's fair.
But really, I have a bigger gripe with something when it comes to uniforms in all of sports. All of these alternatives that it doesn't matter what league it is, NBA, MLB, NFL, and so on and so forth. Mm. Uniforms today are just not good. Think of every team's best look. It's all a retro uniform back to like the 80s or 90s or 2000s. Today's uniform designs suck.
I don't disagree with that totally. Like, if you look at the Falcons, just had to rebrand again. Theirs sucked. The Buccaneers had to go back to their 2000s look in the NFL. The Cardinals had to rebrand, and their rebrand wasn't that great. You have very few modern classics these days. And look at the most iconic uniforms in sports. The Yankees, they've never changed. The Packers have barely changed the striping.
Until they put out the Acme stuff, though, too.
Like, yeah, all that, but that's it's all merch grab. It's all a merch grab these days. That's the whole point, is to make money and be a merch grab. Mm-hmm. And, Owen, I think you make a great point. That was the first thing one of my buddies said yesterday when we walked to our seats and the game began with Aaron Ashby giving up two runs in the first. That sucked.
Maybe, but Riley's the curse.
Yeah, maybe.
You guys ever think about that?
Maybe. I might be. I'm 0-1 this season now at Brewers games. But thank you, Nick Saban. But the first thing he said was that it didn't look like he was watching the Brewers. And I think that's the issue with a lot of these City Connects, these alternate. The Packers are getting their new rivalries uniforms this year. Everyone in the NFC North is. Bears are, too. Mm-hmm. So I'll be very curious to see what those look like. But ultimately, it's all a merch grab. And it's hard when you're trying so hard to be unique and special to make these teams still look like the teams. Like the Brew Crew, the first City Connect was great. That still looked like the Brewers. The Braves, they still look like the Braves. The Pirates, they still look like the Pirates with their City Connects. The Brewers, when you got salmon-colored undersleeves and Bryce Terang's got Hunter Orange elbow pads and whatnot, like, that doesn't really scream Brewers.
It's the problem of what I feel like has trickled out from the NBA into the MLB is the lack of authenticity and connection.
Cohesion.
The first rounds of everybody's first round, electric, because you knew that this was the first one. You had to get it right.
You had to
put together the best effort, and it just feels like that. I look like for the Bucks too, of like, Why is there blue? Why is this happening? Like, I get kind of it's the cream city of like what the pillars look like in downtown, but It just feels like there's so many stretches. Mm. So maybe have one, but even then, it's just like I'm not fully on board with it. We're just, as you said, it's a merch grab, or it gives off the vibe of a merch grab.
Yes.
And the NBA has kind of done that where it's like, I'm at a Laker game. Why are they wearing green or something like that? Like, what? Who am I watching right now?
Yeah.
I feel like if it's the Bucks and the Lakers and they have the reverse colors here, it's like, what the hell am I watching right now? What is this?
It's the Brewers. Why are they wearing orange and blue? Like, why are they wearing Illinois and Bears colors?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Which is incredibly ironic.
Like, exactly. Like, why do they have a gradient on the letters and the numbers? And again, it looks great on flat graphic design.
Yeah.
It looks weird, and you can't really see it on uniforms. And I don't know. Don't get me started on gradients and how obsessed Nike is with frickin' gradients. Oh, my gosh.
Gradients hot. Well, before Riley gets more into graphic design talk, let's give him a breather. Let's also talk about we got to take a look at some power rankings, too, real quick, Riley. It looks like the Brewers are in a solid spot. Want to do some more quick power ranking reactions for Riley.
Yep. Excited. I haven't seen him this week yet.
Let's see. Well, that's coming up next here on the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Checking back in from the Whiskey Jack Saloon, live from the Barstool Open, presented by Michelob Ultra, Pablo Iglesias, Riley Alkin. This is Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN. Continuing baseball talk here, and also some excitement, too. It looks like somebody landed a nice punt
here at Whiskey Jack. Yeah, we heard a cheer.
This is not an easy hole to compete. A tough field, nevertheless, and it's a tough field for the Milwaukee Brewers, too. And, Riley, it's time now to reveal the big power rankings of where the Milwaukee Brewers at.
Let's go.
As we reach a new round of power rankings. Owen, drum roll, please. Riley, the Milwaukee Brewers are ranked third.
Let's go.
In the ESPN power rankings.
Yep, finally some respect. It's exactly where they should be. Although I fear after last night in this three-game losing streak, they're going to drop down to 10th, knowing how these power rankings work, unfortunately, by next Saturday, unless they turn things around quick.
Shall we choose our adventure? Would you like to know the two teams ahead?
Let me guess. Dodgers is number one.
Dodgers number one?
That is my final answer. Dodgers number one.
The Dodgers are number one, correct.
Let's go. And number two... Let's go Seattle Mariners at number two.
Doom!
That's a doom. Would you like to know where the Mariners are at, or would you like to know who's number two?
I'd like to know who's number two.
The number two are the New York Yankees.
All right.
And the Seattle Mariners at seven. They are 4-9.
That was fire.
So it's...
Okay, so the Mariners are off to a difficult start.
Difficult start.
What's the Yankees' record right now?
The Yankees are 8-3.
Okay, fair.
Yankees are 8-3. The Dodgers are 9-3. The Brewers are 8-4 as of this ranking.
Now
8-5.
Yeah, they're going to drop down to 10th. Mark my words. Mark my words. Brewers are going to be put down to double digits next week, even if they win the rest of their games from now until the next power rankings. I guarantee you the three-game losing skid, it's going to be enough for all of these pundits to knock the Brewers down quite a few pegs.
Talk about optimism, huh?
I am not... wavering in my belief in the Milwaukee Brewers whatsoever. I don't believe in national pundits giving the Brewers any respect, so I'm very pleasantly surprised to see the Milwaukee Brewers at third in the power rankings. Let's go. Can't wait. Eventually, sometime this season, they will get to number one. Mark my words, they will.
So how do you feel, though? Again, well, we talked about this too in Fair Foul. You said it's fair. The power rankings do matter before May 1st or before May.
Yes.
And now it just kind of sounds like you're teetering. You got to pick a side here. The Brewers, based off of yesterday's performance, do you feel hot about them? Where do you feel worried, though?
I feel good overall still about the Milwaukee Brewers. They're injured right now. You have Quinn Priester on the IL. Would love to have him back soon. You have your two big power bats in the lineup. Andrew Vaughn and Jackson Churio are both out, probably for another week or so, hopefully back soon. But... right now, when you have to play Luis Ranjifo and David Hamilton, when those are your 8 and 9 hole hitters, I'm not
overly shocked that they're only scoring three runs, and they absolutely wasted just an absolute tank from Jake Bowers yesterday. That was sick watching in person. It was a no-doubter. We were directly behind home plate, and it was a no-doubter off the bat. It rocked. So they still should have scored more runs against the team that gives up the most runs in baseball, the Washington Nationals yesterday. But if I have to pick an area that I'm concerned with right now, it's got to be closer and Trevor McGill. He just absolutely imploded last night. He had an opportunity for his first hold of the season, tie game 3-3 heading into the top of the ninth, 100% a winnable game for the Brewers. And before he recorded an out, he only got three batters, and he gave up a run, and he blew it. And then Easton McGee comes in, gives up a couple more runs. It was just a brutal ninth inning, but he couldn't field his position. He couldn't spot his pitches well. It seems like right now for Trevor McGill, there is something off with him mentally. Like, I don't think his stuff has gotten any worse, but he's just not dialed in to start the season, which is frustrating. And I'm not opposed to throwing Abner Uribe in the closer spot and let Trevor McGill work as the setup man for a little while.
And I mean, Riley, it was the way that the Nationals just they bullied him with the bunt.
It was all PFPs, pitchers fielding position. He could not field his position. And he said post-game that's something he's very proud of, his ability to field bunts and make those plays and cover first base. And, yeah, they just abused him. Like, he could not make a throw to the plate to save his life. It was awful. He fell off the mound awkwardly one time and couldn't make the play. It was bad.
If I'm Pat Murphy, though, I don't know. I get where you're coming from with Abner Uribe and trying to ease him into that. I feel like that would almost mess up McGill's psyche even more. As much as you don't want to see this be a consistent thing, it's better that you figure out the situation now and keep getting him out there and keep getting those consistent reps, because at least that's what the persona that Pat Murphy kind of gives off, is that he's, one, not afraid to be honest with you, and two, he will put you, even if you're uncomfortable, he's not going to bail you out. Mm-hmm. He's going to put you in uncomfortable situations to then feel comfortable more in that role versus just, all right, well, it didn't work, we got to make a change. He's not a quick guy or a guy who makes a quick move like that, because that, again, just, I feel like that has a different ripple effect on this team versus, like, if you have Abner Uribe in a couple roles here. When if a team has more than one closer, it's very similar to, as Jim Rutledge would say too, if a team has more than two quarterbacks or has not one established quarterback, you have no quarterback. So I think you have to stick with Trevor McGill here, even if he does have a rocky situation in his last outing. At least you're figuring it out in April, right?
I agree. So I'm not opposed to keeping McGill.
Yes.
I just think
it's
worth considering throwing Abner in the closer spot for a little while McGill regains his confidence and figures it out. But I totally get where you're coming from.
But I think that's how you gain the confidence, though.
I trust
is you
Patrick
keep going.
Murphy. Yeah, but you could tell Murphy was pissed. I listened to his post-game interview last night.
Either.
He was frustrated as all get out. And one thing he said that caught my ear was that he said the team didn't play with an edge, which, if I remember correctly from last year, in that stretch in May, right before your birthday bash, when Jesse was talking crazy about when do we need to start having the conversation, Pat Murphy was saying the same thing, that this team wasn't playing with the edge that he needs them to play with and that they're used to playing with. So while it does worry me slightly that he's saying that, ultimately I feel like that means kicking the keisters coming from the skipper soon, and that's why it's so early, and that's why I'm really confident that Pat Murphy and the Brewers will figure it out. But, man, you want it to – if it's going to happen, you want it to happen now for McGill, but would really like to see him figure it out soon.
Yeah, this one will perk your ears up, too, before we get riled up over on the Carpenter Stock and Text Line. No name here. But a 712 number. Wisco is not a thing in Wisconsin. No one north of Highway 29 ever mentions it. Scotty, maybe. They should have just put the cheesers.
The cheesers?
On them. What do you think, real quick?
See, Jim Rutledge threw out up north. I think Isaiah as well, like, up, put that on the jersey. I don't mind that because everyone says up north.
Maybe Wisco, a Door County type of nod, too. Would that have been something?
They definitely, like, in the promo videos and the pictures, like, there's a lot of Door County imagery up there on the shores of Lake Michigan and those state parks up there. Ice fishing, that could have been an interesting theme. But, and maybe this is because I'm from southern Wisconsin, that I've heard Wisco a decent amount. Not a ton, but I've heard Wisco. I've said Wisco. Maybe it's from my time at UW-Madison. Maybe it's because I'm from southern Wisconsin. But it's definitely a thing in the state of Wisconsin that I've heard. Mm-hmm. Is it common? No, but I've heard it. So saying it doesn't exist, I think, is simply inaccurate.
The new Ivy grad from the UW-Madison,
yeah,
Riley.
I'm not an Ivy grad. That's
new Ivy.
New, yeah.
He's a new Ivy grad.
I guess so, even though they added that designation after I finished school here. So
Hey, don't sell yourself short now. Don't sell yourself short.
The School of Journalism and Mass Communication here, absolutely phenomenal.
All right.
SJMC, shout out.
It is a nice little appetizer to get Riley starting to get riled up, but I am excited to see. I have no idea what's coming up here. It's one of our favorite segments of the 11 o'clock hour. You want to preface?
Let me tease it.
Okay, he's got a little tease.
It was from the Brewers game yesterday.
All right.
And it has nothing to do
with
the play on the field.
Stop it there. All right. We've got something Brewers / unrelated Brewers. Excited to hear what this is. We've got Riled Up coming up next. This is Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN live from Whiskey Jack Saloon for the Barstool Open.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Interesting comment here from our emergency poll. Masters weekend is still 72%, about to say overrated, but interesting comment here, Riley. Anyone who votes overrated, this is from Andrew Diedrich, anyone who votes overrated might as well just admit they're not fans of golf.
Okay, I will. I'm not a big fan of golf.
Just don't know ball, man.
That may I'm not golf, not a golf ball.
Riley doesn't know ball. If there's anything we've learned from these 2 hours, take that away, folks.
Wow.
Is that Riley doesn't know ball, but you know what he does
know golf ball.
What to do. He knows how to stir up the pot and get riled up.
This is where we call it like we see it. No sugarcoating.
People are riled up these days.
What are you so riled up about?
If it's soft, we're calling it soft.
Now you're getting all riled up.
I got riled up.
If we are angry, we let it be known.
And now I got you all riled up.
It's time to get riled up.
Always the best. I love this open.
All righty. It is time to get riled up and... So I mentioned earlier.
Our first riled up to on site.
I know. We'll
so
see.
So let it rip.
Yeah.
Don't hold back, Riley.
We'll see how this goes. So as mentioned, I went to the Milwaukee Brewers game yesterday, and I got myself the Bobber, which is a brandy old-fashioned sweet in a nice little Bobber fishbowl-type cup. It was excellent. And you know it was excellent when I actually got my drink. You know what I don't enjoy doing at baseball games? Standing in lines at concession stands. So the people in front of me, I get into the line, and there's only two people in front of me. So I'm thinking, all right, they're going to get their drinks quick, and we'll be on our merry way. I didn't get up to the front of the line. There's two people in front of me, and these are buddies that are ordering at the same time. This is not two separate people. Two people in front of me in line.
Two.
And it took me... no less than 5 minutes to get to the front. And they only ordered one drink apiece. One drink apiece. They both also ordered Old Fashions. And it took them 5 minutes to order because they're debating with the bartender about something God knows what and having this conversation. You can tell the bartender was a little, like, angry, a little frustrated with whatever they were doing.
Yeah, because
so I absolutely, at sporting events... at bars here, like Whiskey's, at restaurants, I cannot stand when people are slow orders at the front. It's like when you get up to the bar, when you get up to order your food, know what you want.
Or
don't engage in a debate with the bartender who knows drink, who knows what's going on, and try and like work out something special, work out a deal, a sweetheart deal where you get the souvenir cup for free or something like that. Just know what you want to get and order it. So people are behind. And then by the time I got to the front of the line, when these two jack wagons finally got out, there was like 10 people behind me piled up. You're slowing down everyone else. You're ruining the experience. I'm trying to get my drink, get my bobber, and get back to my seat to watch some baseball. And since you want to engage in a presidential debate with some guy making minimum wage, I gotta wait an extra 10 minutes to get my dang drink. I can't stand it. Slow people in line. Just know what you want. It's not that hard. It's not that hard.
It's not your local dive bar on a Wednesday happy hour or Thursday night or Friday night, whatever the case.
No.
Even Saturday night.
And
dude,
that's the thing. If
trying
it's
to have a conversation.
You, exactly. That's a totally different. You're at a dive bar. You know the bartender. You're chopping it up. It's great. Not when you have a line that's extending behind you and you're trying to figure out how to finagle yourself a free souvenir cup because you forgot to order it the first time and he made your old-fashioned a plastic cup.
Wait, wasn't this just for the souvenir drink, too? How is it so hard to decide if it's one specialty drink?
Yeah, so it
how
was a specialty
it,
drink, but it's an extra $9 if you want the actual bobber cup. Otherwise, it's just a very good old-fashioned in a plastic, like, not even a solo cup, like the clear plastic cups.
Red solo cup,
so
I'll fill you up.
I think if I had to, you know, conjecture what happened in front of me, these fools decided one ordered with the souvenir cup and then one ordered regular and didn't add the souvenir cup. And then he was like, oh, wait, why didn't I get it in the cool bobber glass? And he did. And then the guy's like, you didn't order it that way. Mm-hmm. And then he had to redo the whole transaction because he had to add the extra $9 onto it. And it was a whole kerfuffle. And I'm just standing there waiting for 10 minutes behind two guys in the line. Like, at a stadium, too, you have to be efficient. We got to get going. Like, we're trying to watch some baseball. Or I'm trying to at least get a drink.
Just keep it going.
And it wasn't the bartender's fault. I'm not blaming him. No. I'm not blaming the employee at all. I'm blaming the guy who didn't know how to order a drink properly. And this happens at restaurants. This happens anywhere where there's any amount of service. People don't know what they want, or they get mad that they ordered incorrectly or something, and it slows everyone else up. It's frustrating. I can't stand it.
If anything, this is more from a restaurant, or even, you know what, if I have a drink that I'm in between, whatever the case is. Let's say, if we're at Vintage sometimes for a happy hour once in a while with our teammates, yep. What I'll do is, if I'm indecisive, I give the two options. Like, here's
exactly,
where I'm in between.
Yes.
And I allow a bartender or server for food. I'm in between these two things. Dealer's choice. What do you suggest?
And
I go
boom,
with their
go
suggestion.
With that.
Boom.
That solves the problem.
If
right
I'm
there.
Still indecisive, then I hear my choices, help me make the decision, and we speed up the process. Versus if I'm not ready to choose my food and the rest of the table is, let's say from that, then we delay this whole process.
Yep.
No, I want to keep it going. I want to keep the flow going. Whether there's a table limit, whatever the case is, let's keep it going because you've got other tables. You've got other customers to wait on to serve, whatever the case is. So I want to try to, even though I'm indecisive, I'm going to try to make it as easy as possible for you because you also got to keep this thing rolling.
Exactly. And then you make everyone's life easier. Then the waitress, waiter, bartender, et cetera, gets to feel like they're helping you out, make your choice. They get to add
some
insight.
They're part of the experience.
Exactly. And that's great. And that's how it should be. We're at the ballpark, man. And you're taking 10 minutes to order the bobber because you got it in the wrong glass.
Ugh. But was the drink good?
It was so good. It was worth the wait, I will say. And the thing is, I get up. I'm like, hey, I want the bobber in the specialty cup or what, in the souvenir cup. And he's like, okay. Takes like 30 seconds to make the drink. Gives it back, I pay, and I'm on my way in less than a minute. It's like, what were you spending so much time talking about? Why were you arguing with this dude? Like, clearly, if you tell him what you want, it's simple. It was ridiculous, but
if
I would recommend. Would
if
recommend
you're going
the
to do that, you have to tip well.
Yes.
You have to tip well.
Yep.
Because I was at a non-Brewers game, and I had mentioned they saw my Wisconsin ID, and they sang on Wisconsin.
Oh, that's
they
awesome!
They sang full on at a non-Brewers game.
Wow,
this was outside
Shout
of
out.
Wisconsin, so jump around and it was full. It was a transition of I've got beer. It was like I've got beer here. I've got beer here. Dun, 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 dun,
oh, that's awesome! Oh,
it
and I think
great.
There's a hotkey that says on Wisconsin first down.
There it is. I can't remember. I think I have the video somewhere on my phone. I'll go look for it. But it's like, if one, I had to tip him handsomely too.
Yep. That
rocks. It's a great opportunity. Totally out of left field, ironically. It was at a baseball game too. And he was in left field. That was unintended. Okay. I swear. That was unintended. But I'm with you there. This has been Riled Up. We got to finish out the rest of Saturday Scramble live from Whiskey Jack's. We also have our five-hole showdown that we'll preview on social media a little bit. Make sure you keep an eye on the ESPN Madison Instagram. Riley Auk and I basically have our own little amen corner going around here at the Barstool Open. We'll wrap up the show here live from Whiskey Jack Saloon. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Auk. This has been Riled Up. More conclusion of the Saturday Scramble coming up next on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
It's the home stretch, the 18th hole of the Saturday Scramble, the Barstool Open Edition. Sorry, I got to be real quiet. Somebody's very important putt in front of me. Did he sink it?
Oh, just off.
Oh,
that
hurts. I could tell. Yeah, that's tough. Hopefully that doesn't affect the scoreboard too much. All right.
He salvaged.
Well, we got to take a look at what the leaderboard looks like eventually. Riley Auk and I, too, as we finish out. What a Saturday Scramble we've had here at the Barstool Open, presented by Michelob Ultra at Whiskey Jack Saloon. The energy has been good. People have been coming out, not realizing that we were also a live show, too, trying to ask these questions
in
show, which is great. I love the engagement out here. And just a fun day overall to kick off also Wisconsin men's hockey. We see
some guys in some hockey sweaters
rolling in here. Wisconsin.
Love to see it.
Man, if Wisconsin can win a national title, that would be huge.
Let's do it.
It would be amazing. First time since 2006 at Bull
Hockey State. Come on.
That'd be electric. That would be electric. So, Riley, we've got a five-hole showdown to face off, which, again, you can see over on the ESPN Madison Instagram. We'll post all over our social platforms. Have we mapped this out now?
I believe we have. I believe we're going to start at Red Rock, go down to Red Shed, across the street to the new barbecue place, Pink Heifer, next door to Luchador, and finish up here at Whiskey's, the most difficult hole on the course. It's going to be good. It's going to be a showdown.
It's going to be good. Riley's,
I'm ready.
We're both in our Saturday red, more so. Riley's in his Wisconsin Badgers hoodie. I've gone full into the bit of Tiger Woods. I even brought my own putter.
Wow, that's how
try hard level.
Maybe
I got.
We should have started the show with that. Would you bring your own putter to a mini golf bar crawl?
If there's anybody, is there anybody in this office that commits harder to the bit than me, Riley?
In regards to golf, no.
Definitely not. That's right. You got to be all about the bit. What do we think the favorites are? Dimps, who are you putting money on for this Saturday Scramble Barstool Open 1v1?
You guys really making me pick favorites between you two?
Yeah. You got to go for it. Who are you picking?
Give me Riley Yow.
Whoa! All right. Okay. I love this.
Yep.
We got some Wisconsin hockey fans right here, too. This guy's ready to roll. Yeah, Wisconsin's going to win by how many goals?
Four goals. Let's go.
All right.
5-1. Wisconsin beats Denver. 4-0.
Right. 4-0. 4-0. We've got a fan giving us play-by-play here of how it's all gonna play out. Well, we appreciate it. There's the prediction there.
4-0 Wisconsin knocks off Denver.
Is that the parlay here? 4-0. Take Wisconsin 4-0.
Riley to minus 3.5.
Riley to win the Saturday Scramble Barstool Open mini-golfing. So, Owen, what real quick, I know we only got a couple minutes. What's your rationale here? You can't just say it was a 50-50 coin toss.
I'm going to take the underdog story in this. Pablo, you're a big golfer, but I think Riley's going to knock you off your game today.
Oh, wow. All right.
Put me
in my place. That is the vibe that we have going on here.
Let's go. I'm playing with house money, O-Dog.
That's tough.
I love it.
That's tough, Owen.
Need you here to caddy.
He did. I was going to say, you did choose him to be your caddy when I asked everybody
you were golfing at the Masters.
That might have played a factor into it.
Yeah. Hey, O-Rog, listen, I wouldn't say that I'm not going to choose you. I just thought Riley's rationale was great, and I had to give a shout-out to John Adias, our teammate, who actually did help me break 100 last year when he filled out on the Saturday Scramble last year. He gave me this advice, and then I turned it around on that round, and I broke 100 for the first time ever. So,
wow. Shout-out John Adias, a pro.
That's it. That's
amazing.
So, nothing personal against you, O-Dog. I got to go with the guy who gave me good golf advice that resulted in good golf results. So, Riley, any final thoughts before we send things off?
I'm ready to watch the Wisconsin Badgers win a national championship in men's hockey this afternoon. I'm so excited.
Anytime. You got any plans? Wait, don't you have your big bar crawl? Yeah, I have my own bar. Me and my friends organized our own bar crawl tonight.
We only got like a minute left, yes. So quick synopsis. It's going to be 5 bars. It's going to rock. The theme is wigs. Wearing wigs. So we'll see how that goes. But that's going to be fun.
Going to get to see
a lot of friends I haven't in a long time.
Like a powdered wig?
Like a presidential powdered wig? It could be any wig you want.
I really hope somebody brings Jefferson or James Madison.
Yeah, I don't have my wig yet. We shall see what I end up wearing, but I'm sure there will be pictures that I can show you guys next week. I'm very excited for that. And I'm more excited. Anytime the Badgers in any sport are playing for a national championship, I'm fired up. I'm ready to watch Wisco bring back another trophy.
He's Riley Elk. I'm Pablo Iglesias. Owen also texting us a great photo comparing me to Tiger Woods in the red polo, so I will take that as a compliment. Coming up next, we got Arizona Diamondbacks and Philadelphia Phillies, ESPN MLB joining in progress. The Brewers also playing later tonight, 5:35, Milwaukee Brewers and the Washington Nationals continuing their action at the AmFam Championship. Wisconsin men's hockey going for the national championship as well. You can catch that on ESPN. For Riley Elk, for Owen Dimple back at the Everlight Solar Studio, I'm Pablo Iglesias. This has been the Saturday Scramble. We'll catch you next week. Peace.